Hi, welcome to Let's Talk Good Stuff. Here with me today, I have Detective June Robinson of the Philadelphia Police Department, here to talk about how it is to be a young black male and police enforcer in America. Hi, June.
How are you doing?
I'm well, and yourself?
I'm okay, I can't complain.
That's good. So, as you know, there has been countless instances where African American men and women who have been profiled and harassed and killed by police for innocent offenses. As a black man, how do you feel? Just as a black man, taking out the fact that you're a police detective.
Well,
how does these instances affect you?
Well, it's going to affect you because when things happen without people knowing whether an incident is right or wrong from either part, everyone can look down for an incident that happens. No matter if something happened in L.A., the officer in Philadelphia is going to feel the effects of it and vice versa. So it's going to affect you because they automatically perceive you as being one of the people that was involved in any incident. So that's how
right.
it affects you. Like, you can't get away from that part. It's like if you're a school teacher and something happened bad involving the teacher and the student. Teacher may feel the effect because they lump you into that profession. That doesn't mean that it changes how you do your job. It's just, you just got to be a little bit more vigilant when it happens because somebody may perceive
okay.
you to be a part of whatever they're thinking or whatever's going on. If that pretty much answers your question.
Yes, it does, and thank you. Recently, here in Philadelphia, we've had an ambush. We actually had two ambushes in the past 2 years as a detective, as an enforcer. I know, obviously, you know, the police force is your family, and you know, it hits home. Does that make you like second guess your career, or does it make you? How does that affect your going to work your every day?
It's going to make you more aware, but it doesn't make you want to change your profession. Can't speak for everybody, but for
right.
me, it doesn't make me want to change my profession. It doesn't make me want to go out and do another job again. I love doing what I'm doing. So if you like your job, any job you're in. But for me, if you love your job, you like doing what you're doing, things is going to happen. Everything is not going to be good all the time. Sometimes things is going to be great. Sometimes things is not going to be great. But overall, if you love doing what you're doing, you're going to continue to do it because that's what you like to get up every day and do, go to work and perform that job. So the incidents that you're referring to, did it make me change my outlook on my job? Not one bit. Of course, it made me a little bit more visual because in any job, you may get a little complacent at times. But it just reminds you that anything can happen at a moment's notice. It's a reminder that the same thing that happened to them officers, it could happen to you. So you got to get back into paying. If you get a little lax at times at your job, incidents like that just make you just be more aware. But it doesn't make you want to leave your job or second-guess your profession. Because if you love your profession, you got to get up every day and do it.
Right. So I know you go to the hospitals when, like, gunshot victims come in and you investigate the crime scenes, and you see a lot of young black men as victims and as shooters. Do you ever feel like maybe you want to do something to help change things, or what would be if someone did want to help change the mindset of young men? How do you think they should go about it?
Well, think about it. When you're in the process of investigating, a lot of times you are helping people because you got to talk to them. A lot of people you talk to, whether they be the victim or the person that committed the crime, when you have a dialogue with them and you tell them, you just don't ask them about the crime. A lot of times you have a conversation with people. And when you have a conversation with the person, a lot of times you go into your personal experience and you try to direct them in to hopefully not being in this situation again. So that's a form of help. Because some people that you deal with, they just need somebody to talk to. And you may be that first person that tell them, yo, listen, you got involved in this. You may not want to do this again. And you may want to go this route to prevent yourself from getting into the situation again. That goes big. People don't understand how much that helps the person when they just get that one person to say something to them. That one conversation may change their life forever. You know, you find yourself being more of a counselor at times when you're doing investigations than just taking reports.
Okay. So when you're talking to the young men, and, you know, a lot of times it's like they have that whole thing where they're not snitching, and, like, when they're protecting the person that shot them, like, how do you get them to talk to you? Is it like a lost cause? Is it like he's not going to say anything?
Well, it's best to each case. Sometimes people, they just don't want to say anything. There's a segment of people out there who will talk to you, and there's a segment of people out there you can reach, and then they'll talk to you, and it's a segment of people out there who won't say nothing to you. So it kind of really go on a case-to-case basis. You know, that slogan, stop snitching, that's all it is. It's a slogan. You know, but if somebody want to talk to you, they'll talk to you. But somebody can be convinced that just they have a dialogue with you about anything. But there's some people, I don't care what you say to them, they're not going to talk to you. They just won't do it. They won't talk to you. They won't listen to you.
So I know you have a son, right? Raising, how easy is it, how hard is it for you to raise a young black man in the urban community as a detective? I mean, does that make a difference? You know, does he know a little bit more than everybody else?
I don't think that I really know a little bit more than everybody else. I would say that I would raise my sons the same way. Doesn't matter what profession I am, you know, that I'm in, because you expect certain things out of your kids. You demand certain things out of your kids, the young black males. And if you demand it, you're supposed to try to, hey, if I want you to go to school, I don't want you to go to school because I'm a police officer. I want you to go to school because I want you to get an education. And I would do that, doesn't matter what profession I'm in. And I don't think that being a police officer makes that any easier to do. I'm going to expect them to do things regardless and hope that they follow it. Now, of course, if you live in inner city, sometimes it's a little bit harder because of certain elements that happen, because we all want our kids to be out there and be safe. But you still got to have good expectations of what you want out of them, and you're supposed to make sure they get it done. Like I said, I don't think they have anything really to do with my profession. I think they got to do with me as a person.
Okay. So there's a lot of men who don't have fathers, young men who don't have fathers out there. I don't know how in depth with your offenders and the people that you have to investigate. I don't know how in-depth you get, but did you ever, like, notice that maybe their father wasn't in their life? Like, do they ever confide in you in that way? And are you able to touch them? Like, you know, I know you're only with them for a short amount of time, but are you able to, like, touch them in any way?
What is sometimes when you have a conversation, you can kind of feel maybe what's missing in their life. And you know, could I say that, they're missing their father? Like, you really can't tell unless somebody, like, lets you know that. Sometimes when you're talking to people, that's defendants, and you talk to them, and you go off to a side conversation, you can see some of the things that may be missing in their life, and you can home in on that and talk to them about it. I wouldn't necessarily say that it all goes back to not having a father. Not that I can think of, offhand. Sometimes it could be other things. It could be lack of job, you know, maybe problems with drugs, your upbringing, and it necessarily doesn't mean that, okay, because the father wasn't there, this is why you're doing what you're doing. So I can't say that I get a lot of that.
Okay. Okay. So we're down to the last, like, 4 minutes, so I just want to get some real quick questions.
Okay.
So when you see instances where, like, Sandra Bland and, like, women are involved, like, women are the victim of police brutality, especially against a male, how do you, like, I'm trying to make sure I word this right. How do you, is it like something that you can say, all right, I understand where that officer was coming from, but then he shouldn't have put his hand on a woman like that? Or, like, how do you juggle that? How do you handling a woman?
Well, then, the thing about it, I don't really, unless I know actually what's involved with the case, I don't pass judgment. So I don't say this is police brutality or the woman should have did this or the officer should have did that unless I have firsthand knowledge of everything. I'm talking about from start to finish that went on. So I can't really talk to that particular case because I like to comment on things that I actually, you know, that I actually know what happened from start to finish. You know, so I wouldn't pass judgment on saying, oh, there was police brutality, or if the cop was wrong, or if the person was wrong, because I don't know every particular thing about, you know, because what you may see in one light, you don't know until you get everything, until you get the whole picture.
Right.
So because I don't know what the whole picture is, then that's why I really wouldn't feel comfortable with even commenting on it.
Okay.
I mean, sorry to not give you, you know, but that's why I wouldn't comment on something like that. Right.
It's fine. So, well, I guess then I should ask, how would you handle a woman, a angry, combative woman? Like, is that a time where you call for backup, like, to get a female? Or do you have, like, special ways to handle it?
Well, then, you know, you a woman or a man, and they're combative, you got to get them in handcuffs. And then when you get them in handcuffs, then a female would, you know, pat down that female, you know, defendant that's being arrested to make sure they don't have no weapons on them and stuff like that. But, you know, but if you're in a process of arresting a female and she's combative, because she's a female, you just don't walk away. Like, you have to, you know, you have to arrest the person. I mean, that's pretty much, like, summing it up, you know. I mean, you imagine this try to put in the mind of, let's say cops is called to where you're at, and there's a woman there being very combative, you know. It's obvious that she's very combative, fighting everyone. The cop that show up, you want the cop to arrest the woman, at least get the person under control, you know. You don't want the officer to walk in there and say, oh, it's female, let me walk back out, call someone. Because you try to get the situation under control. So,
right.
But after you arrest a woman, after you put handcuffs on the woman, then you have to have a female, obviously, to come and pat the female down. I mean, that's how you have to do it, you know. A man is not going to be out there patting a female down for weapons and stuff. I mean, they're not doing it.
Okay.
Well, they shouldn't do it.
Well, thank you.
I mean, they shouldn't do it.
Thank you for talking
with me.
I appreciate your time.
Okay.
And so that's the end of our interview.
Okay.
Thank you so much.
Okay, you have a nice day. All right.
All right, you do the same.
All right.
Bye-bye.